Praise the Lord. And a lot of them had gotten saved and they started churches. Hallelujah. So we have to obey the Lord, walk day by day, obeying him, and he will direct our path. But the Lord and throw a hosier and cap against me. My heart shall not fear. The wall shall rise against me. And this will I be confident. And that scripture I thought about one time. My husband was a Vietnam vet. And they were about to go into the Vietnam War. Praise God. And he said the night before, he had his little New Testament Bible in his pocket. His mom always told him to read 23rd Psalm. It's so important to have the Word of God. It's so important to even read the Word of God. And he read it, and he said it seemed like a little angel or someone, a little man, appeared up to him and say, this is going to be your great last battle. Hallelujah. And sure enough, he got wounded about 3 times, got shot 3 times. But praise God, he came back home. The Lord brought him back. Praise the Lord. And I thank God for that. So one, and then it says one, that's why I could be confident knowing that no matter what or who may rise against us, we can be confident knowing that the Lord is our strength. He is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that's my prayer every day, is that will I seek after. And when we see the word seek, I think about ladies going to a garage sale, or you hear of somebody say, oh, they're having a big sale over there, we're gonna take our, oh, I gotta go, I might find something good. Praise the Lord. So the Lord want us to seek after him with our whole heart, soul, and mind. And I learned back then, I don't play with the Lord, because he is real and it is serious business. The enemy would that he would sift us as wheat, but Jesus say he already prayed to the Father that the enemy cannot pluck us out of his hand. Praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for Jesus today. And Luke 12:32, he already tell us, fear not, little flock, but it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. He just waiting to give us the kingdom. The Lord is good. No matter what situation, what problem, he is a very present help in time of trouble. Hallelujah. For in a time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Amen. And we know that he is and will answer prayer. So this is prayer for my life. And I'm praying that it will be a prayer for your life as well. Amen. And the first thing we learned on this, the first 3 verses, 1 through 3, was praying in times of crisis. Remember that the Lord is your strength. And that second verse, realize that your enemies shall stumble and fall. God will make your enemies your footstool. Praise. I know he did at the apartment. It just was turned out to be such a blessing by taking a stand for the Lord. I praise the Lord. And the 4 through 6 verses, it was come to God with singleness of desire. What is it that you're believing him for? Amen. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto me. So my whole heart's desire is to seek the Lord, is to have the Lord in my life, that no matter what I need or what I'm going through, he is right there. And I love to go to the sanctuary. It doesn't necessarily just mean a building. I'm in the sanctuary now. Praise the Lord. It is where the Spirit of the Lord is. He wants us to have his presence. We may not feel it all the time, but by faith, we walk by faith and not by sight, knowing that he's there. And he gives us that peace all the time. So we shall continue on next week, God willing. If not, you may get the book telling of his goodness. And I appreciate it. Thank you so much for tuning in. God bless. We thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google+, or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
The wonder in my my soul.
Feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, we thank you for this privilege now to study your word. Let the Holy Ghost and his perfect teaching ministry meet us in the text. Tailor the truth that we might not only be hearers, but doers of your holy word, that you might receive the glory and we the good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, give him praise as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. We want to today, I am led to just again refresh us in this issue of patience. I want to teach on the power of patience again for the believer. I don't care how long you've been in the Lord, you can never ever outgrow this subject, because all of us need to continually rise to another level, place, and peace of patience. And so I want us to look at this, because there are some things that go on in our lives and some things that are going to go on in our lives that we're only going to be overcomers and victors through patience. Amen. Well, I want you to look, if you will, at the book of Romans chapter 5. I want to begin there. Romans chapter 5. Now, this is the interesting thing as we begin this study, that we want to look at again and really find some place of understanding where this peace that we have comes from, where this patience comes from, and it's all out of the arena of faith after having received Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now listen at this. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now the first thing I need us to look at is this word justified that comes out of the arena of jurisprudence. It's a legalistic term. And justified simply means just as if you hadn't done anything. It is a clearance with, again, a certainty and a legal standing. So if you are justified here to have this relationship with God, and it comes through Jesus Christ, it is also an act of faith, not only on our part, but on the part of God. God believing that if he gave his son would bring sons and daughters to him. And so it was an act of faith on God's part as well as it was an act of faith on our part. So again, we are justified by faith and we have peace with God because of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. So the reality is, whatever relationship we have, it is a byproduct of that Jesus Christ has done for us. Now, here is the point again. It is through this same Jesus that we have access to this grace wherein we now stand, or this ability to be justified in this way that we did not deserve, because, of course, the price was paid by Jesus Christ himself. Now, knowing this, the Bible says that we glory in this hope. But not only this, it says, verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Now, it doesn't mean that we glory in tribulations because of tribulations themselves, or we glory in the fact that we're going through. What we glory in is the fact that this too shall pass. What we glory in is while we're going through, we're on our way to what God has for us. The tribulations always suggest a trial, a test. It always suggests that there is some opposition against where God is trying to bring us to. And so when we understand the ministry, if you will, of tribulation, it's always to develop you and bring you to a whole new point and place where God would have you. If tribulation weren't used to be an obstacle and an opposition against you, you many times wouldn't feel all that has been done for you and you walking through your part as some part that was some great thing. In other words, God does the impossible, but there is a part we must play called the possible. And so what he allows is us to go through tribulations, and one by one, and they're always measured out by God, which means that he's always in control of every tribulation, trial, and test we go through, so that the devil doesn't unfairly put more on us than we can bear. And because God is in control of that thing, and he knows how the devil plays, he makes sure that the devil never puts more on you to keep you from coming out of what you're going in without being successful. Aren't you glad we have this grace that he himself has blessed us to stand in? The devil is unfair, but thank God that God is just, and he's justified us to be as so. But look at this. Here's where I'm getting to. Again, the word says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing, somebody say knowing, that tribulation worketh patience. And look at this next word, verse 4, and patience experience, and experience hope. Now we know, and when you get to that place in the Lord, it's just like Romans 8:28 that says, and we know that all things work together for a special group of people who will understand the outcome of every situation that God has allowed them to go through. He makes sure that everything we go through works for our good. It may not be good going through it, but it's going to work out for our good. May not feel good, may not sound good, may not look good, but it's going to turn out good. And when you have enough experiences like this, then you stop getting upset at the stuff you go through and you start shouting about what you're getting ready to go to. Because it's a process. Every time tribulations, tests, and trials come, you know promotion day is not far away. You know just as soon as you go through this thing, you're going to get what God's got waiting for you. So you're like, come on, bring it on, devil. I'm ready to make it to the next level here. I'm tired of staying in this place here. Been in this wilderness too long. I want what God wants for me. Look again. Look at what happens. And patience, experience. Once you get experience under your belt, the devil don't fool you and mess with you and make you feel like he used to when you didn't know what was going on. See, because what you realize then is a process, and once you start learning, it's the same process. Maybe a different experience, but it's the same process. And you can apply the process to every experience. Well, man, you start realizing, wait a minute, we're going to get through this one a whole lot quicker than we got through the other one, because we know what's going on. You start seeing the signs. You start understanding it because you have experientially been there, done that, and all the devil is doing is bringing you through another situation where you know what the outcome is. Now, that's the reason why you shout going into the valley, because you know you're going through to get to. So when you know that, why wait? Why hold your shout till the other side? You literally start the celebration on your way in. Why do you think, in boxing matches and in other kind of competitive matches, the opponents always look at each other and try and act like they got the edge? Huh? I mean, they do that to try and scare the other opponent down, like, you going down. Oh, you going down. You know, it's like, and when you get ready to go through the valley, man, and you start shouting like you done come out before you ever went in, the devil know he done messed with the wrong one. Because you know who's going through it with you. You know what he has to protect you and to provide for you. So your shouting don't start when you start celebrating on the other side. Because of faith, you begin to operate in it on this side. And so this is, again, experience brings you this kind of thing. And notice what experience were. Hope. Hope. Once you get enough experience of going through these things, you begin to hope in the Lord on a whole nother level. You begin to trust him and believe and hope for the things that he has said and promised in a whole new way, and believe that his word is going to not only materialize but produce just what it says. And then notice what it says. I like this verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed. You know, some folk want to make you ashamed of you hoping in something that God has promised and said when it don't look like it's going to work out like he said. Well, I understand. Maybe you made a mistake. Maybe it wasn't God you heard. Maybe this is that, maybe that is that. And so you want to make you feel ashamed, like, you know, maybe, you know, the devil tries to play with your mind and make you believe God is not faithful. But when you hope in God and his word, know his word, know his will, know his way, know that he cannot lie, know that he is faithful. Some of this stuff that you're going through is just a test, and you keep hoping, and you're not ashamed to keep on hoping. Because the God who promised is also able to provide. And it may not be today, and it may not be tomorrow, but God is faithful. And so you're not ashamed to hope in the Lord, to continue on in spite of what you see. As a matter of fact, the word says that old man Abraham was strong in faith. Now, if anybody should have been ashamed to hope, it should have been Abraham. You know, here God's told him to leave all these folk, his family, all the stuff he has and everything. Told him he's going to make him a father of many nations at 75 years old. At 75 years old. Ain't had no cheerings at 75, but God's going to make him a father of many nations. Now, first of all, imagine telling somebody at 75 who has no children, God told me he's going to make me the father of many nations. Well, if that weren't enough to make you a laughing stock, but then to wait years and there's no sign of the promise. I mean, he turns 85 and ain't no sign of the promise. And then he turns 95 and it ain't no sign of the promise. But the record is he was strong. And I know it don't look like it, and I know me and my wife, we tried to help God out. Instead of being patient and waiting on God, we delayed the promise. He could have done it a lot sooner, but again, because we still believe what God has said, now that we've interrupted the plan and tried to do our own thing, and he said that's not the one, he's still going to do what he said, because it's up to him, not up to us. And then lo and behold, here you hear Sarah telling Abraham, Abe, babe, something is funny. I ain't feeling good. You just got gas, that's all, baby. And you know, but she kept having that morning after morning and situation after situation. And before you know it, she began to realize that she was pregnant with the child of promise. And faithful is our God. At 100 years old, here come Isaac. 25 years later. Now let me ask you a question. When was the last time you had to wait 25 years on something God promised you? So if you hadn't waited 25 years yet, y'all getting quiet. Don't think that God has forgotten about you. Don't think that God is not faithful. God is still faithful. And so when you begin to hope in the Lord, that hope in him makes us not ashamed to believe him and to trust him and to hold, clearly to the promises of God. Now again, And the hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to look at something else, because as we walk through this text talking about the power of patience, there are so many areas and issues that I want to deal with. But I want us to look again, and I want to visit with James, if you don't mind, chapter 1. And look at what James tells us. Let's look at verse 2 through 4 in the first chapter of James. My brethren, brothers and sisters of the faith, count it all joy when ye fall into divers, different, various, many temptations or trials or tribulations. The record is knowing, hear that word comes again, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now here's what you've got to gather in this word, that your faith is not going to produce what God wants it to produce until it is tried. Knowing that the trying of your faith, which means if you believe God, then your belief is going to be put to the test. It isn't until you are put to the test that you are able to get the blessings that are again connected with the test. And so when you are tested on your faith and you pass your test through again what God has allowed and aligned according to your faith, he meets you right there at your faith level. And when you pass the test, he provides what he promised on that level. Now, the reason why the trying of your faith is a continual process, it's because God moves us from one good degree to another. From one level to another. So when you go to another level, it's another test. I mean, those of us who did finish school, regardless of whether it was, you know, grade school or a college or what have you, every level provided a whole new level of testing. And here's the good thing about understanding testing, because the testing of your faith helps you. You get tested on that level going into it. You get tested while you're on that level, and you got to get tested to get out of that level. And when the test increase, it's because you're going to new levels. And of course, when you go to new levels, the severity of the test, the strength of the test becomes stronger, but again, they match your faith. Remember, God will not allow more to be put on you than you can bear. So if you're going through more than you ever have gone through in the past, it's because what you're going to is more than you've ever gone to in the past. So there is a continual trying of your faith as you move from one good degree to the next degree. Because when you get through with it, you got a bigger blessing waiting after the test. And so when you see this, knowing this, somebody say knowing this. Listen again, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Because then you become clear again about the process, and you stop becoming anxious about stuff, because when it's time to move to the next level, God will bring the test to you. You ain't got to go looking for the test. You say, you ready? Okay, God said, wait, testing time is coming. Now wait until you pass the next test and we'll see whether or not you're ready or not. You stop becoming anxious because you know that you want to go through doors that God opened up, not man opened up. Because when he opens up a door, no man can close it. And if he closes the door, no man can open it. And listen at this, God never opens a door and put it before you according to Revelation 3 unless he wants you to go through it. God don't sit down and you sitting down and open up automatic doors and he knows you're not ready to go through. How many of y'all remember that little sitcom, Get Smart? Maxwell Smart? Yeah. Do, 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 do. Do, do, do. Now what happened? Every time he walked to the door would either open up, get to the next one, it'd go up. Next one, it'd go down, or whatever the case was. And he walked all the way through this long corridor, and the only time the door opened was when he got what? Right to it. Then when he turned around to go back, what happened? The door closed. It wouldn't let him go back to where he had already come from. Now, I'm trying to help you go somewhere, and sometimes I have to take places that are not in the Word to help you get there. You see, when you are being tried, you can't go back to that lower level because the test gets harder on the higher level.
You can't go back to where it used to be easier because you done passed all of that. So if he, listen, if you won't go forward, he won't let you go backwards. You're going to have to stay right there till you're ready to move to the next level. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. Now listen at this, because let's see again what James is saying. He says, again, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But verse 4 says, but let patience have her perfect work, her complete work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, when God, through patience and working of all of the things that it takes to get you to where God wants you to be, when he is through with you, you will be complete and mature through the troubles, the trials, the tribulations, and all of those things you come through. All of them he will use to perfect you and everything connected and concerning you through the trials, tribulations, and tests that he brings you through. And when you are entire, I mean, we're talking about every area and arena of your life as it relates to those things that you're going through. You're going to realize that God allowed all of those things to happen to make you a better you in him. And if you are a better you in him, my brothers and sisters, you begin to walk in the things that God wants you to walk in, have the things God wants you to have, know the things that God wants you to know, and you will be blessed abundantly. Look at James chapter 5. I want you to see something else right quick. James chapter 5, begin at verse 7, and look at what he says. Be patient, therefore, brethren. Now notice again who he's talking to, the born-again believers. He's talking to the people of faith. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to those who belong to God. Unto the coming of the Lord, behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. Now, he brings you to an agricultural metaphor to show you a simple truth. And if it is so in the natural, it is because it resembles the reality in the supernatural. Now, he says the husbandman or the gardener who plants this garden or this vineyard, and he has done his part in the sowing of the seeds, and he cultivates the seeds, and he tills the soil. He does all of the things that he's supposed to do, but he has patience to wait until the seed under the ground does what it is supposed to do. The first rain, which gives it, again, the important amount of water that's going to give it all of the necessary nutrients, or stir those up and prepare those for the accelerated growth process, starts after that first rain. But he knows it isn't until the latter rain comes that the fruit is going to have all that is sufficient to cause it to grow and to produce that it has been designed to produce to its fullest. Now, he could get in a hurry and pull some of the fruit before the latter rain, but he's going to have an immature fruit. He's going to have a fruit that's not fully developed and ripened. And it will be at a point and place where it was not fully allowed to develop and become sweet and plump the way that it should have been, because it was picked too soon. So he knows, in order to get the best of the harvest that he has planted for, he's going to have to wait the process through, doing his part and waiting on the first and the latter rain. After the latter rain comes and the fruit finally develops to its full state of ripeness, he then has a short period to harvest all that he has planted, because after it becomes ripe, it starts to rot. Now, the problem is that it's important to realize you never get the full benefit until it is ripe. Now, what happens when you pull fruit too soon? It's bitter. It's not sweet. And so it's really not good to eat, even though you have pulled it. And then what is the point of pulling it and then letting it sit? Because when you pull it and then you let it sit, it's still not getting all of the nutrients through the root system and gutting all of the stuff that it needed to get while it was still trying to mature. So you it turns color, but it doesn't develop. Y'all aren't hearing me here. And so if you do whatever it is you do and you get in a hurry and don't wait till God is through making you complete and entire, if you try to skip a part of the process that he's developing you in, you might look like you're mature. You might look like you got it together, but the truth of the matter is you will not be fully developed and fully entire and complete and wanting nothing at the end of your situation. In other words, you're going to find out when you get through, if you don't follow through, that when you are, when it all comes down to the end, that you're still not everything God wants you to be. And then